Major news throb tonight, and a Labour spokesman reveals how failure in the leadership elections has taken its toll on Robin Cook.
He's having to attend a psychiatric day centre every day and is now behaving more like an eight-year-old and having to be accompanied by an adult everywhere he goes. This is an extremely serious case.
Hi, this is Max Clifford. I like pissing on baby mice. I've seen extremes, so hard to beat. Every time she walks down the street. Yeah. Ah. Hi, this is Max Clifford. I like pissing on baby mice and shoving them right up my ass.
Think it's going to get any better than that? You're wrong. Christmas shopping. I know it's naff to complain about Christmas shopping, but really, the build quality on everything this year is piss poor. You go into any designer clothes emporium, and you're trying to choose anything at all, you find half of the things come to pieces in your hands. And if it's not there, then you're driven into some shop where you've got to buy Fauvieux candlesticks or titting little cherubs everywhere. I'm sorry to whinge on, but really, Peter Bainham's in tonight. He's pretending to be a snail. Sod of the day today is Tony Parsons. He's interviewed by Peter Hamill. There's childish tannoy idiocy at some airport somewhere. Paul Garner's out there now. He's been out since 6 o'clock this evening. Actually, it's Heathrow. I don't know why I'm being coy. A kiddies outing, and also tonight, news. And Gwent police are using specially skilled horses to patrol problem areas tonight.
They've had 3 weeks of quite intensive training. They've been taught, obviously, legal matters. They've had a first aid input. And also how to deal with small fires and practical matters like that.
Feedback report next.
Hi, this is Max Clifford. I like pissing on baby mice and shoving them right at my ass. The world is full of
fools. So Paul Garner's task for tonight. Just ahead of today's feedback report, which continues the quest for the truth behind tying knots in your face.
Why are there so many people on the back benches who are so unhappy?
Paul Garner's request, or quest for tonight, is to go to Heathrow and to get read out over the tannoy the following messages, very simply and phonetically, without the spellings yet. We would like them to read out,
"My colleague just farted and left the room the boasted,"
followed by,
"Still I got my Owen back and took a piece in easty."
People tying knots in their faces, what do you think?
Well, obviously, I'd say that they're totally disillusioned with society as they see it. And this is their method of showing it. But I do think that after a couple of years, they will regret having mutilated themselves.
Do you think the more knots, the worse?
Well, the bigger the number obviously displays a deeper resentment against society, I think.
Whereabouts do you think is the worst part of your face to have a knot?
I would say the lips.
Why would that be?
Well, the lips are so expressive of people. And even in, we say, a romance situation.
How would it affect a romantic situation to have a knot in your lips?
A very adverse effect.
Is it worse when people do it to each other or to themselves?
Well, if they do it to each other, I wonder if there's some form of kink sex involved.
Bring him in. Peter Bainham's got his Christmas shopping. I've got mine. I did it this morning. Didn't finish.
Hi, this is Wakefield. I think Naomi Campbell has a gravel Annie disorder. Boing, boing. Long time coming, long time
gone. Pass the torch. Paul Garner showed me this. It's just like a plastic tube with a little kind of bug worm thing inside it. Slides up and down, creating a rather enticing whistling noise. I mean, really, you know, I know it's the same every year, but honestly, the absolute tosh that is available for you to spend your money on this year when you can't buy, you either can't find the right clothes for somebody, or the records have run out, or you don't want to buy a remix, a kind of Ice Cube rip-off album, more of which later, or this, you know, Galliano remixes, all the kind of stuff that, and you just think, oh, I'll get them a gift. So you go to a gift shop, and what are you, surrounded by crescent moons, and gold cherubs, and gold seahorses, and, chrome and coloured glass. Here. Chrome coloured glass bath rubbish. Mm. I mean, for you know, this like coloured glass with all these dark blues and yellows, these strong colours. And you're supposed to go in there and go, oh, yeah. Oh, that's really clever. It's like a cocktail glass, only it's solid. So I'll put it down in my bathroom. And then, you know, people will kind of, well, it'll increase my social currency. Friends will look at me and they'll look at it. And they'll look from it to me and they'll equate us in some way, subconsciously. And therefore, I will become better. Oh, give me that glass. Oh, give me that glass.
Look at this chrome shop's like with an obsession box and...
Oh, God, yeah, Revelations. Chrome,
yeah. I mean, look at this thing, the little, like, chrome salt cellars, and, you know, some little chrome bollock dish to place your testicles and penis in when you're lying in bed, you know.
And this bath stuff as well. You know, the whole idea that, you know, the bathroom, you turn out the lights in the bathroom, put out loads of candles, you get a lot of steam going, you have the bath right up to your neck, right up to the edge of the bath, and you lie down, and then there's all these products you can...
Look at this.
You idiot!
Look at it! Felt Why did I buy that?
Because you are a sad bastard who fell for that marketing. Go on, describe it.
Well,
describe
I mean, this, right, this is like a sort of a chrome bath tray that goes, a bath rack that's sort of, like, bent, sort of pre-aged, sort of falsely aged metal that goes across your chest in the bath, you know, with, like, you know, little like, what's this, little wine glass tray there, you see that?
That is a wine glass sort of tray.
Thing. A little wine glass tray, and there's a little recess for your book as well. You can have
Oh, it's quite seductive, Peter.
Yes, isn't it nice, yes.
What kind of book would you be reading, then?
Oh, Wild Swans, I would imagine, yes.
Wanker.
Yes, and like little, oh, look at this little crescent moon-shaped candlestick area
crescent
here.
Moon.
To the left.
It's got a seahorse on it as well.
Oh, yes, and a cherub, probably.
It's got little wells to put my aromatherapy in.
Of course.
Oh, I feel a bath coming on. Do you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to turn off the lights, I'd like to get up a big steam, and I think I'd like to listen to some opera.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Just lie back in the water. And look at this. Look, I got a bubble bath here, right? And, it's got some special smell of knowledge and understanding balls in it. They're shaped like crescent moons as well. And you get this, look, this special beard and glasses to put on the bubble bath, so it's wise foam.
Oh, wise foam. And nice taps. You see the taps on mine?
Yeah.
Little crying dolphin taps.
Beautiful.
One of a range of endangered species taps that blub water into your bath as you're lying.
Oh, Peter, what other animals have you got there?
Oh, I don't know, perhaps a hammerhead horse.
And what about these sweating cherub taps? They're my favourite.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I want a sweating cherub seahorse tap. And for drying me out when I get out of the bath, I want a big mechanical manatee that beckons me out of the bath. It's all made of toweling. It beckons, it cradles and dries.
Yes, yes. Yes, and how about this? How about a nice towel storm cubicle?
Hey.
You step in, you shut the door, you press a button. Towels fly up past you, dry your body.
Oh, I want to change the music. Let's have some Michael Nyman.
Oh.
And we can play this game. This floating game, look.
Oh, yes, lovely floating Botticelli.
Botticelli
yes.
In the bath. Shall we play?
Yes. Why don't you ask me some questions about myself, Chris, and I'll tell you who I am.
Okay, right, Peter. Are you 20th century?
Mm-hmm.
Do you work in films?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, do you write films?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're not Richard Curtis, are you?
Yes!
Oh, God, may I say, Richard, that you're a genius and Four Weddings and a Funeral was marvellous.
Thanks, yes.
And do you know what I really love about The Vicar of Dibley?
What?
Apart from the fact it's so funny and heartwarming, all the characters are so real.
Absolutely.
And whilst you're playing Botticelli in the bath, you can learn about yourself. Do you know how?
How?
By pissing in the water.
Ah.
There's a special dye, and they come out of crescent moon-shaped tablets as well. And they reveal secrets about your character. There are three colours here. There's Equinox, Sargasso, and Little John. You know, the brilliant blue piss water of Little John, I'm reading from the instruction now, means that you have inward-facing tears, and your inner seahorse is being attacked by whore shrimps. Oh, look! Look, the black Sargasso collar. That means I'm outgoing.
Oh,
what's that?
A nice bath bib.
That's a bath bib?
A lovely bath bib.
Oh, God.
You put over your head. You put it, floats on the surface of the water, covers in the entire surface of the bath. You're surrounded by a little world environment.
Like what?
Yes, like full of lovely things like little miniature sea otters. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, let me change the music. A bit of foray. So you've got a bath bib on.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an environment surrounding you. Hey, look at this, look. An African bath bib. It's called African Swamp Dawn. And through the mist of your own bath is revealed the magic of a dark continent. A polythene-sealed, liquid photochemical backdrop breathtakingly recreates the golden iridescence of the sun god's magic awakening. Night creatures scurry for cover, as does a crescent moon.
At the margins of your bath bib, little reeds quiver as tiny ibis emerge looking for clams. A miniature African lady brings her washing to the still cool water. A distant hippo splash sends egrets skimming low over the water towards us. Skim you like sprites, you beauty birds, while above we are bewitched with the dreamy poetry of flamingos in flight. Oh, and on the bank, a mad elephant jumps gleefully up and down on all fours. Boing, boing, boing. He's up there on the bath ledge. Hey, Peter, what's that?
That's a little duvet for my candles.
What?
Because they're all tired when they finish.
Oh, hooray!
So I'm going to say a prayer in a minute for the designers of these things. These seahorses. And then I think I'll phone up a shop and do all my Christmas shopping. Oh, I don't know which one I'll phone. Heavenly Father, we pray for all who design these pointless gifts. These gifts of chrome and coloured glass, or distressed metal, or crescent moons and seahorses, fairy lights with feet, stupid, fat, shiny toasters, or shitty little shaving kits. Grant, dear Father, that before their time has come, each designer shall know the solemn, lonely pain of trying to pass a foot-long gold cherub with spread wings through the pink, hornless squid beak of the bum ass. This, O Lord, do I pray most solemnly.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. I just wondered if you could help me out. I've got to get some stuff.
Right.
I've just got to get a load of everything for everybody.
Right.
Have you got it?
What do you want?
Well, what have you got, really?
What
have you
got? Yeah. Oh, gosh, everything. books, clothes.
I'll bet you've got chrome, have you?
We've got chrome things, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. And plastic and everywhere, all that.
Yeah, I've got loads. Have you heard of Alessi?
It's all by Alessi, is it?
Yeah.
Have you got an all lorry?
Good grief.
An all lorry by Alessi?
Well, this is by Alessi.
Is it as high quality as their O'Lorry?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's quite 70s in a way, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. And what about the suits?
Suits?
Mm.
We've got a bright yellow check suit.
Oh, God.
We've not actually got a jacket, but we can get a jacket made up for you.
What, you'd make it up?
Not us, but the company we get the suits off.
What, we'd make it up?
Yeah.
But it would be real.
Pardon?
It would be real one.
Well, it's,
I mean, they'd make it up, but it would be real.
Real? Gosh, yeah,
Because I've had trouble with this before. People make up a suit, and I want a real one, and I turn up, and it's not there, obviously, because it's just being made up.
Honestly, I swear to God, I mean, it'll be absolutely fine.
Well, it really will be real?
Yeah.
And definitely not made up?
Seriously, I mean...
Well, you wouldn't be making it up, but the other people might. It's difficult. I mean, God, it's difficult, isn't it?
I know.
It's, of course, this is a circular suit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it, a circular all the way down?
Yeah.
What else have we got in chrome that I need?
We've got lighters, like kidney bean lighter.
You've got a kidney bean lighter?
Like kidney bean shape lighter for
okay.
1150.
It's the shape of a kidney bean rather
yeah.
than a kidney.
No, not a kidney, a kidney bean.
Right, it's a kidney bean, not
yeah.
a kidney.
No, not a kidney.
But it's the shape of a kidney bean rather than a kidney.
Yeah.
Have you got any of those little kidney bean kindling?
What?
Kidney bean kindling. Have you got any of that as well?
No.
All right, I'll pass on the lighter then, because I think you need kindling in order to get them going. What about the books?
Books?
A book, you know, just like a book. What kind of books have you got?
Well, like I say, books.
I was so delighted with this. I'm so delighted with this. Come on.
No, I mean... I'm
because we've got all these suits and legs and chrome and everything, lovely colours and yellows and blues, and I just want a book that opens in the middle.
Well... We've got, like I said, we've got books like diaries, we've got,
art books.
Art books,
Have you got any black and white photograph books? Anything black and white, just check, anything would do, lovely.
Okay,
hang
on.
Yeah, black and white would be lovely.
We've got a book called Cyclops, and we've got a book called, Bodies.
And they're both black and white?
Yeah.
That'll do, that's brilliant. Okay, now can you gift wrap these?
Yes we can.
Excellent. So could you put them all out in a big, nice, crinkly box?
Yeah.
And bang it all up the manager's fudge tunnel.
Pardon?
One Christmas thing which isn't for sale, but it'd be great to give to somebody who's a football fan, is this Grobbelaar video. Feel the details of this in a couple of minutes.
Daniel Black is the brother with the bomb shit. Coming with the sound, making underground bomb hits. Doing 94, it's time for some action. I'm action, which one of y'all is down for the count? Now, still in a war zone, and 94 is on. But I'm full grown, fucking with the microphone. P-Dog creeping in the drop with a 30-odd. Still fucking with the man, and it's kind of odd that a nigga rode down and let the trigger go. Still gotta pray for an L.A. replay. Black folks still bring it to the truth. But I still got love, so I'm coming through with a trunk full of funk that'll make y'all separate the real from the fake each and every day. Understand it's a must that I tear shit up and I still won't budge. And that's it.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
That sounds like one of Stephen Hawking's farts.
Yeah. You're right. Dubious news. I'm not being told. I'm being protected. Bad news from the Ghana camp. Details of exactly how he was caught. Was he trussed? At Heathrow, he was caught doing a childish tenor announcement. But he has heroically pressed on to Gatwick. He got one half. Now he's off for the second half. Can't wait to ask him what happened. I got it on vinyl here. This,
What's up, kid? All right,
yeah, it's a cue, the funkadelic sounds. And the bass riff from this comes neatly nicked from Uncle Jam. Track two, Knee Deep, which also provided, as you'll hear, the big sample basis for Me, Myself, and I by De La Soul. Here it is. Massive song, and this, I guess, is the best bit of it, really. That and when the choir come in with their kind of like gargling bit.
So now you know.
And this Grobbelaar video I was letting you know about is, it's not commercial or anything. I'm sure it's going to have an impact on the investigation, but it's taken during that the game, the Man United Newcastle game, the one that everybody was worried about. I'm sure this is against the law, yeah, but you know, it's true. There he is. He's on. You can see him. He's got Walkman headphones on, and the speculation is that bribists were channeling their different bribes into different headphones. And you can actually see the reason that this has come to light is because you can see him diving. He makes a dive to save a ball. You can see him go through midair, and he suddenly changes direction completely and snakes back 3 yards to the right in midair like a snake. It's an extraordinary thing to watch. And then again, he starts shooting over to the left about 4 yards, then goes right again and actually catches the ball. So his flight has this curious double S shape. And that's available on the video that I've got. And, well, as far as I know, it's not commercially available.
Lucy Williams reporting. Offlots to investigate Camelot's failure to protect the idea.
Very sticky. Okay, here's today's kiddies outing.
Today's Wednesday, the 14th of December, 1994. And today, I'd like to out Bernard Manning. Mr. Manning, it's a pork-chop-faced man who, in his way, looks like a lady, though not a very pretty one. Nonetheless, this has not stopped him from being a fully-fledged friend of Dorothy or fan of Kylie for as long as I've known him. Good luck to him, frankly. It suits him, and I love to see him go.
She's my queen. This is Alice Cooper. Isn't Sybil Roscoe a twin?
The Messiah is my sister. Ain't no king, man. She's my queen. Let me put you.
So the deal with Tony Parsons.
Tony Parsons.
guy on The Late Show, writes for the Daily Telegraph, writes for Arena. And has written a book all by himself called Dispatches from the Frontline of Popular Culture. Our reporter, Peter Hamill, interviewed him. And watch out, by the way, in the interview for the name Biddley Bodley Wilson, a fictitious Victorian writer who therefore
does not exist.
What's up? Tony Parsons, welcome.
Good evening.
Now, your book here, Dispatches from the Frontline of Popular Culture, what a title.
Mm. Well, the title's actually Tony Parsons.
Well, it looks like that's the author.
Yeah, well, the original idea was that it would be eponymous, you know, like the first album by The Doors.
But you were actually after the Peter Gabriel effect.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, I think it's okay. I think it's perfectly valid to call books after yourself, because nobody's calling this from the Frontline of Popular Culture.
And actually, the way it's printed here, you could read it, Dispatches Frontline Culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Because From The Of Popular is in different coloured lettering, and it's smaller.
Yeah.
From The Of Popular is the yellow stuff, so that's what we'll call it. How long do you think it'll last? I mean, do you think this will be in 100 years' time, people will say, that's what it was like?
Yeah, well, I think it captures a certain period in history, in the history of the Western world, yeah.
So you see yourself potentially as both Charles Dickens and Bosley Biddley Wilson.
Well, hopefully.
What do you think of people who write for listings magazines?
I do think that there's a lot of coasters and there's a lot of cruisers.
Sounds like a cross between a naval battle and some disaster scene on a restaurant table.
Yeah.
And they tend to be fat because they're losers.
Exactly.
Do you ever listen to Radio 1?
Yeah.
What do you think of Simon Mayo's theory that anyone who commits suicide is probably gay?
I think that's rubbish. That's plain garbage. I think anybody that commits suicide has just run out of options. I don't think their sexuality's got anything to do with it.
Do you think it's a good idea to have pop music and little theories?
Well, you know, old Simon Bates I always used to tune into. He was never averse to spouting off about the world, and I quite like that.
And in fact, it's no coincidence, you mentioned Simon Bates there, and he was one of the people who, just before he left, disagreed most strongly with that little theory.
Well, good for him. You know, I mean, I think it was a mistake. I think Radio 1 did wrong as they threw the baby out with the bathwater.
And Bates was the baby?
Bates was the baby, and...
So how do you feel about this controversial TV show that he's planning to do, kind of late-night sort of James Whale thing?
Oh, well, I'll tune in and see what it's like. I mean, I like
Apparently
it,
in the pilot, he had a bloke who was a self-confessed cannibal who actually put him on the spot and made him eat a bit of cured flesh.
Really?
Now, is that the way that somebody, you know, the baby that was thrown out with the bathwater should end up?
Well, that's not what he did on the radio, is it? I mean, I don't approve of people eating human flesh on camera for the edification of people that have just come back from the Dirty Duck.
Yeah. If somebody was on The Word, they'd probably say, oh, I'll eat my leg.
Yeah, well,
what do you think Bisley Bodley Wilson would have said about that in his time?
Well, I think it does capture, you know, something, the spirit of the age. I mean, it doesn't capture it quite as well as it could do, probably. I mean, they had that, the Bobbit video, they claimed the world exclusive on that.
Now, that's something that Bodley Wilson would never have written about himself, but he might have alluded to.
No, but of course, the world exclusive was actually on The Late Show. We showed the first clip of that. I mean, what I would say about The Word is that I've liked it from the start, and I still enjoy it.
But Bodley Wilson was really keen on things which had a place in popular culture and which stuck and which seemed to go on. And maybe he would have disapproved of The Word because it seems to be changing and becoming self-parodic.
Yeah, to a certain extent, but it still has its moments. It's still worth watching.
I suppose you're saying that Bodley Wilson would have given it a sort of cautious thumbs up then, would he?
I think so. I think he'd been tuning in when he was back from the Rat and Trumpet.
Scrabbling around for a bonus here. This is Lisa Germano. Pretty kind of Velvet Underground-ish. Lisa Germano off Geek the Girl, track called Trouble. This bonus then. Said to Tony Parsons, by the way, Nikki Campbell wants to ask you a couple of questions. And then left a little gap. And then...
Hello.
Hey, Nikki, how you doing?
Oh, a bit of a rush, but... Got to ask you this. You're about 40 years old, approximately. Have you ever felt better?
I feel much better than I did when I was like a wild 22-year-old punk.
But what I'm getting at here, you know, is I've got a few aches and pains, and I'm not quite your age. What about you?
Well, we're practically the same age. I think you're shaving her.
Well, okay. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you have kept it quiet, but you've really been quite ill. How's it been?
Where did you hear this? I've never been fitter.
Well, I think you're putting on a brave face.
Oh, thank you, Nikki. I've never been fitter in my life.
Consider that a bonus. And I might edit it into the real thing one day.
Exits to freeways twisted like knots on the fingers. You are listening.
By the way, the next record you hear will be a total rip-off thing off this Ice Cube sort of re-release album, Bootlegs and B-Sides. It's got a sort of Stars on 45 version of Ice Cube, which is like loads of different hits, different tempos and everything, just all crammed together. And it goes under the funky title of Devoid of Pop and Niggified Mix. So, Paul, so what happened? You went to the airport.
Yeah, got... Yeah, we went to the airport, Heathrow, got the first two names done.
Yeah.
And on the return to get the second couplet done, I was rumbled.
So, okay, so what? So you went up to the desk. You go up to the desk, you physically confront these people.
Confront the people with the names, yeah.
And this is to get my colleague just farted and left on the bastard.
Yeah, they were fine. They were got. Okay, but the piece of paper was left on the desk with the names written on.
Okay, so it was. So you went up and said, my colleague just farted and left on the bastard.
Mm.
And they went...
My colleague just farted and left the room the bastard. Please go to the airport information desk.
And people laughing there with female voices on, not you.
It wasn't me, no, I kept completely quiet.
So you say, though, this goes out over the airport and other passengers guffaw as they go past.
That's absolutely right, and this is part of the reason why they banned me from more. They said they got complaints from people who are in the airport. About the ones that we've done previously.
So you went up to the desk again, and then what happened?
Went up to the desk again, they looked at the piece of paper with the two new names on, and said, there was a moment's pause. Then they got the original piece of paper with the first two names on, compared the handwriting, and thought, aha! So she picked the piece of paper up and went to the back of the room where the other colleagues were, and she started going things like, just fatted and the bastard and took a pisnisty and stuff like that. So they obviously linked them all together, saw that they made...
Well, then he came back and said, oh, excuse me, you seem to be asking us to say I took a piss in his tea.
It was a she, yeah. She came back and she said, we can't read this.
And you said...
I said, why not? And she goes, I think you know why.
You were 3-year-old.
Absolutely.
And then did you claim... That, you know, it was for a good reason.
By this time, she was surrounded by about six of her colleagues, all staring, glaring at me, so there's no way I could back out. I just came clean. I said, you've got me.
It's for a radio show, and it's a good deal, isn't it?
I said that it's for a radio show. Come on, where's your sense of humour? And they said, any more of these, and we'll call the police.
So, rather than give up there on the spot, you then went to Gatwick.
Yeah, I thought, this can't happen, so I went to Gatwick, yeah.
Okay, and so the second half of the message is in a different voice, but it was right. Read out.
It was read out, yeah.
And it goes...
Still I got my own back and took a piss in his tea.
Still I got my own back and took a piss in his tea to the airport information desk.
Took a piss in his tea. So, hotel next week, then.
Yeah, let's do it.
Mm.
My colleague just
farted.
So this is the Ice Cube Stars on 45 thing that I was talking about. It's just a load of tracks carelessly jammed together. I don't know if it'll be released as a single. It's certainly kind of part of this rip-off LP deal, which you don't need to do. I'll probably play a little bit of it, and that'll be all you need to hear. Spellings. Paul, so let's do the one that came out in a clear, bell-like female voice. And That was my colleague Jess Fartit.
My colleague Jess Fartit, okay. Certainly. It's M-A-K-O-umlaut L-I-G, my colleague. And Jess Fartit is J-E-Z-V-A-H-T-E-D. Jess Fartit.
And left the room, the bow state.
Left the room, the bow state. L-E-V-D-A-R-H-O. Umlaut again, E-M. That's left a room. And the bastard is D-A-B-A-H-Z-T-E-D.
Okay, so that's what happens if you want to get cautioned, if you want to get a legal caution or get threatened with police action, then go up to an airport desk anywhere and ask for these names to be read out. Of course, if you do it abroad, which is now where we're going to have to go from now on, then you won't be troubled because they won't know what you're doing.
My colleague just farted and left a room, the bastard. Please go to the airport information desk.
Yeah, just getting tomorrow's headlines in at the moment. We'll let you know if there's anything interesting in those in about 2 minutes. Also, some interesting news if you're an Alan Rickman fan and want to raise money for the homeless. That before 10 o'clock.
On the paper, up to the light.
I have eaten some pulses.
Rip up the paper. Go ahead and tear up the paper.
Okay, yeah. Tomorrow's main headlines then. More kestrel brains, mutters distracted chancellor. That's a headline in the Times. Circular whale impresses shipwrecked magistrates. Heroes of go-go there in the Independent tomorrow. Symmetrical nurse clouted by bishop in I thought she looked odd ghastliness. That's in the European. Umbilical cord not needed on torch. Inventor cautioned. That's tomorrow's Telegraph. And fairground experimenter breeds walking fist with face. That's in the Sitting Born Friend.
My colleague.
Okay, thanks to Ollie tonight. Thanks to Paul, Rebecca and Peter. Sorry about the doubled up edit there. That was because that bit was on tape, unlike this bit, which is live. And if you're interested in the homeless and the plight of the homeless, watch out all between now and Christmas, because Alan Rickman's around. He's touring from town centre to town centre. Basically what he does is he visits a shopping centre, he sits there in a wheelbarrow and waits for people to come up to him and start pushing him around. And then as they push him around, he talks to them very frankly and caringly about the homeless.
Cook and Bomb
presents the Chris Morris Music Shows.
Visit us online at www.cookandbomb.co.uk
or chilled.cream.org.